Corinthians chapter 9 and Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be. 1 Corinthians 9, Philippians chapter 3. And I want to really encourage you to remember those two chapters. We're going to be talking about the secret sauce to lasting change. And oftentimes we fail to see the changes we want because we fail to do the essential elements. And the thing we're going to be focused on today is the word goals, the word goals. Now, in 1 Corinthians 9 and Philippians 3, the word goal is not actually used, but Paul uses an illustration to talk about receiving the prize and reaching the finish line. And you can reach the finish line. God created you, He designed you, He has equipped you, and He has positioned you and reestablished you for great victory. However, if you don't struggle and strive and press forward, you won't reach that potential. You won't see or seize the goal that God has for you. So what do we need to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Apostle Paul uses an analogy of running, an analogy of fighting and struggling to receive that crown, that prize, that goal. It says this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." I'm afraid that many times in 2021, in 2020, in years gone by, you, I, and many others have not run that you might obtain. You're not trying to win. I would say of various categories of people, Christians oftentimes are most negligent at setting goals. And the reason is, it's a good reason. We have God. Who needs goals when you have God? And there is some logic with that. And the logic is simply this, that I have surrendered and submitted to God, and God's going to lead me and God's going to guide me. I'm much like a sheep. He's like the shepherd. And so if a sheep sets goals, the shepherd's going to get frustrated because the shepherd knows the way. In our case, our shepherd is the way. And that's certainly true, and we're not going to be talking about that element today, and that is the sovereignty of God. But we're talking more about the responsibility of man. These are not perpendicular truths or truths that somehow are conflicting, but they're parallel truths, like a train track, and that is what carries the cargo from one city to the next. And those are the truth that God's in command. He is sovereign. He knows everything. He can do everything. But the second truth, which is parallel, and that is I have a responsibility. And somehow those are absolutely true. Both of them are found in the Bible. Today we are going to focus on man's responsibility. And so turn to your neighbor and say, God's going to hold you responsible. God's going to hold you responsible. He sure will. And really, we are going to be divinely directed or distracted by our human desire. And so the real trick is to get our goals where God is going. I sense, I know, I realize where God is leading me, where God's directing me. And then I yield to His hand and follow that direction. In Paul's illustration here of a race, the runner must be completely submissive to the line judge, to the lines, to the stadium or the track where the race is. If he is not completely submitted to that, he won't be at the race, he won't line up on the right mark, and he won't stay in his lane. He'll be disqualified or miss the whole thing. But there is an element when the gun goes off and the flag is dropped and they say go, he has to run and he's got to overcome fears and pains and maybe somebody else is going to foul him or come out of their lane. They're going to get disqualified, but that shouldn't affect his race. As a matter of fact, that's a tactic that's often used. And somebody gets in that can't win the race, and they will, their job is not to try to win, but to try to frustrate their opponent and to foul them out and to get them off the track. I think that's what happens all the time. It can happen in your life and in mine. So run that you may obtain. Look at verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That is, if you're going to win, if you are going to struggle to overcome, to master your race, you are going to have to be conservative. You are going to have to temper yourself in everything. It's not just running. It's sleeping. It's eating. It's every element of life. We call that training, and I'm getting ready for a race, and it's very important to me. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. That is, the consequences of this race far outlast this life. It lasts forever, for eternity. And Paul says, and so should we, I therefore so run not as uncertainly. That is, as a Christian, even though I know God is in charge, I'm not running with a big question mark in my mind. I'm not just unsure about what I'm doing and where I'm going. Then he switches back to the boxing metaphor. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And so boxers, sometimes they'll do this shadow boxing thing, and guitar players, they're playing air guitar or whatever. And you're really not doing anything but just kind of playing the part. And so we're not supposed to be on a treadmill just sort of practicing. We're not supposed to be just shadow boxing. We are supposed to be trying to get somewhere, to get someplace. And that is the element of setting goals. Verse number 27, but I keep under my body. That is, I keep my body under subjection. That is, I'm not going to let my five senses, my own will, just carry me wherever I go. So sometimes I'm laying in bed in the morning and the alarm goes off and my body says what? It says it's time to, the alarm says it's time to get up, and my body says what? It's time to sleep. And just snooze, just don't worry about it. And I'm saying, no, get up. And I have to pull myself out of that bed. And sometimes there's a meal there and it's really good. And I say, yeah, I'll take a seconds. And I say, no, I'm going to push back. And sometimes I should exercise. I've got this great plan, but I forget it. Yeah. No, I keep my body under what? Under control. Under the goal. I keep myself submitted to where I'm going. Bring it into subjection. Don't just do whatever feels good. Don't let your body run wild. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? A castaway. I myself would be lost. I myself would be lost at sea. And so if we're not careful, we'll become passive and we'll coast downhill. Or we'll just kind of float. And anytime you're coasting, you're going downhill. You're losing ground. You're not making a difference. Any place that's worth getting to takes work, and you are going to have to force yourself to do it. Let me read another passage to you, a parallel passage. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15. Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's a passion, there's a fight here. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I'm not figuring, I'm not looking at this as if I've already won. I haven't won, I haven't completed anything. I'm still in this race, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, verse 15, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What that means is not sinlessly perfect, not absolutely overcoming everything, all of our flaws, but mature, those that have grown and developed. Get this mind, what mind? That I am pressing forward, I am pressing towards a mark, a goal. And if I in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That is, where I'm short, where I have not set the right marks, where I've not placed the right goal, where I've not implemented the right systems, I want God to show me, I want God to show you, and I want us all to be held accountable, accountability partners, that we can go forward and make a difference. Today, I'm going to talk to you about goal setting, and then we're going to have some time to work on our goals. Now, probably you've already set some goals, or you've decided not to set any goals. And we're going to spend some time trying to align our goals with God. Father, we ask that you'd bless us in this study. I pray that we could apply these two passages to the truth that we want to learn, that we want to follow. I pray that this would be a good environment to learn and grow. And Lord, I pray that you would work a miracle in my heart and in our life. Lord, bless all of those that are watching online and are unable to come to church this morning. Lord, bless them, help them. I pray that wouldn't be an isolated response, but it would be a time of real revelation. And you would use this teaching and this structure that they might truly hear from you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you have your bulletin, on the back of the bulletin, you'll find a little helpful outline that might enable you to follow along with where you're going. Some people like them. Some people find them a little bit confining or even distracting. But the main thing is not to hear an outline. The main thing is to hear from God. And an outline is somewhat like a grocery bag. It can hold lots of groceries, but nobody goes to the store to get grocery bags. Well, actually, I have once, but that's a different story. You go there to get the groceries, and you want to make sure that you get them all the way back home to your counter, to your cupboard, and to your fridge. And so oftentimes, a bag works well. And that's what an outline is trying to do. So today we're talking about goals that will enable you to make a difference, or how to set goals so that you can make a difference in your community and in your life, in the nation. Listen, our nation needs help. The news agencies are having a field day bringing to everybody's mind all the failures and all the disasters and all the terrible things that are all around. But listen, we can't dwell on that. Those are just the problems. The solutions and the answers are found in God's people that say, God, make a difference in my heart so that I can make a difference in the world around me. Amen? And God can use you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Now, I want to give you, in this first little section, seven reasons why God wants us to set goals. Seven reasons you must set goals to make a difference. Number one, it is a Christian's duty. It is a Christian's duty to set goals. Now, we already read Philippians 3, 12 through 15. It should be still open there in your lap. I want you to look over there again. Look at verse number 12 and underline that passage where it says, I follow after. Where is that? I follow after. Just highlight that or underline that. Highlight it in your app. I follow after. There are some things that you are going to have to chase. You are going to have to follow after. And Apostle Paul says, there's some things I follow after. Verse number 13 has the words, I do. I do. Now, this is not just wedding vows, okay? A lot of our young people are excited about that, and that's good, all right? But this is saying there are some things I do, I'm striving for, I'm pursuing, I'm going to do this. Now, we're praying and asking God to do some things, and it is right to ask God to do things that we can't do for ourselves. But I believe it is a sin to ask God to do something for you that you are well able to do yourself. You need to do it. And God gives certain things to you, and he says, do them. And that's what Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, there's some things than I do. Verse 14, underline the word, I press toward. He says, I'm pressing toward it. That word press, it's not, I'm not just sort of strolling there. It's not a casual thing. It's not automatic. It's something that takes pressure. I'm straining. I'm struggling. I'm pressing towards this mark. And there's a prize. There's a high calling. And it's going to take your mind. It's going to take your will. It's going to take your heart. It's going to take your physical strength to press in there and make a difference. In verse number 15, it says, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Underline this word, be thus minded. In other words, it's saying, have the same mind. Do the same thing. Think like I'm thinking, Apostle says. If you're maturing, if you're getting to the place where you're trusting God and you're becoming more like Christ, have the same mindset. What's the same mindset? I'm following, I'm doing, I'm pressing, I'm striving to be better, to get somewhere where I am not. It's the Christian's duty. So this year, 2022, will be by design or default. Christians are famous for living by default. And then we'll say, well, the will of God. And there is a true element, there is a true element to that. But the truth we're focusing on is the responsibility of man. And God anticipates us, God expects us. I dare say it is the Christian's duty to design your day, to not just yield to default, to design your day and go forward. I believe to have potential without direction and protection is to flirt, is to call out to the pirates, the time pirates of life. That is, you have potential, you have ability, you have gifts, and if you don't protect your time and walk with purpose, somebody's going to come in and see you as a prey and take advantage of that. Now, I try to, in my personal evangelism, I try to go down to our Congress, our seven buildings of Congress, and I try to walk in the halls. And in those halls, I do two main things. One, I pray. I pray for our nation there, pray for the people, have the little signboards and pray for the various staff people there. And at one time, they were open buildings. I hope very soon there'll be open buildings again. But anyways, I pray, and that's a big thing. That's the sovereignty of God. God, would you do something? There's another thing that I do is I take usually Sunday's message or Thursday's message, and I kind of take a point or two, and I have it in my mind. Sometimes I'll write it out on the back of a little business card or something, and I'll try to stir up conversations with people. And I'll try to bring up that particular element. So this week, I'm talking about goals, so I might try to talk about godly goals or the goals that God can use. And I'll tell you this, I'm going in depending on God, but actively using my responsibility. And every part of life is a balance of those two elements. Now, when I don't prepare something, and there has been times I've been guilty of going, and I'm on the job for the Lord, I'm walking the halls, and I don't have something actively in my mind. I don't have anything written out on a little card somewhere. And here comes somebody. And instead of me reaching out to them, they'll reach out to me. They'll be like, hey. I'm like, hey. And there's a little pause. And I'm like, oh, I should have said something. And I'm thinking God's going to give me this amazing truth. And God's like, and God doesn't give me an amazing. Whose fault is it that I don't have something to say right there? Is it God's fault? I'll tell you this. Many times God has delivered me and given me something instantaneously. It was appropriate. It was amazing. Praise God. God gave me a word. It's kind of a Nehemiah prayer. But I believe it's my fault because I was not prepared for that moment. You've got a year minus one day because it's the second that you need to have something prepared for. And these are called goals. It's the Christian's duty. But number two, goals are declarations of faith. Goals are declarations of faith. We're talking about reasons that you need to set goals to make a difference. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, it talks about the power of God. And the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is saying, I know that you are anticipating. God is saying, I know you have some power that you need delivered from heaven. And God is able, can we bring that up there? Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do far above, exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. Ask for something, think of something. God says, I can do better than that. And it's according to the power that's at work in the Christian's life. And so that power is there. So when I set a goal, it's a declaration of this truth. Who do you think you are to set that goal? I'll tell you who I am. I'm somebody that has the power of God that's working in me. I'll tell you who I am. I'm somebody that is willing to make a declaration of my faith in God. In other words, we need to let the size of our God determine the size of our goal. Let God and His power determine the position of our goal. I would say it's okay to set some goals that you can obtain on your own, but it's where the responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God come together. Those are the godly goals. Those are the goals that you need to make. And by the way, a goal is not a dream. And dreams are good. What can be good? A goal is a dream with a deadline. A goal is a dream with a deadline with a system in place. And so we've got to work on our systems. Otherwise, they're just dreams, but that's another thought. So number one, it's a Christian duty. Number two, goals are declarations of faith. Number three, goals focus my life. Goals focus my life. Now in this room, we have light and we have these big glass bowls or dishes that diffuse the light. The light is actually a little more focused than it seems. And then we send the light through these diffusers and it broadens out. It's less piercing to our eyes and just kind of gives a nice warm ambiance and we can see evenly. But the light of our life, the direction of our life should be focused. Otherwise, you're going to step over here and step over there. And as a young preacher, I made the mistake of not setting a goal with my preaching and teaching. And so every week I would have to scrounge and look for a message, which is good. And sometimes I purposely do that. But over and over, I found that I would spend the majority of my time not developing the message that God has revealed, but looking for a potential message that God has revealed. So now I preach through the book of Isaiah. So each week, my hours that I have to develop the message are more effective. I can say, all right, I've got these 8 hours or these 12 hours, and I'm gonna build this, and I'm gonna build that, and these three thoughts, and then get this illustration, and I become effective. And your effectiveness in this life will go up greatly as you focus your life through goals. Paul said here, this one thing I do, not the 50 things I dabble in, but the one thing that I do. And God has something that only you can do. Now, you probably need to do this and that and the other thing and keep all these balls rolling, so to speak. But there's one thing that God wants you to do that only you can do. And you need to do that. You need to do it well. For me, it is preaching and teaching. Now, there's lots of other things, but I need to be the best preacher and teacher that I can be. I need to mine out the truth of God's word and let my life be focused. Otherwise, I'll be zipping over here and zipping over there and fairly ineffective. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In other words, it shouldn't be a question every day. I'm a pastor? I'm preaching this week? No. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I am swinging my fist, trying to make contact with somebody's nose. I am running, trying to cross that finish line. I have a goal in mind. Do you have a goal? Now, there's another element that we need to bring up, and that is setting goals that don't matter. I have certainly been guilty of that. You've been guilty of that. And that's where you just get part of the rat race. And the rat race is all the rats are running and they're trying to accomplish this, that, and the other thing, whoever's orchestrating all this sort of stuff. The problem with the rat race, even if you win, you're still a rat. And you don't want to get in the rat race. You don't want to be trying to keep up with the Joneses. About the time you keep up with the Joneses refinance and you're in the hole again. So do what God wants you to do. Run the race that God has for you. God has something special for you to do. You're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to think about it. Number four, goals keep me going. Goals keep me going. And you are going to get discouraged this year. I'm telling you, you're going to get discouraged. I'm going to get discouraged, but goals will keep me going. It helps me to look past the pain to the payoff. And so, boom, I get hit with a setback. Boom, I disappoint myself. Boom, I fail here. Boom, somebody else fails there and it affects me. Without a goal, I shift and I change. But with a goal, it keeps me going. You know, there's something interesting about the Holocaust survivors. And I've had the privilege of meeting several of these survivors. And one of them was here on the Hill. And he actually talked about one of the elements that all of the survivors had, and that was hope. No matter who they were, those that would survive had hope. You could go through almost anything as long as you have hope. But I have found this, as soon as you lose your hope, you can hardly go through anything. I mean, your toast burns in the morning and you're just done. Forget it. I have no hope. My life is ruined. All I have is ashes left. Those Holocaust survivors could get through if there was something that they were looking forward to. Long-term goals will get you through short-term setbacks. And you will have, I will have, we will have short-term setbacks. Long-term goals will get us through that. By the way, people overestimate what they can get done in a day and in a week. And they underestimate what they can get done in a year and 5 years and 10 years and a lifetime. And we need to look at our goals, more of life goals, and following God and walking with Him and make sure that our goals are godly. Otherwise, we're that person that gets to the top of the hill and finds it wasn't the right hill. That gets the top of the ladder and found the ladder's not leaning against the right building. Another element about this, goals keep me going, is goals will help you dig yourself out of depression. Now, I'm not sure your personality, but I think everybody has some element of depression. But when you get depressed, when you get discouraged, goals will help you dig yourself out of that pit. Now, it might be that God lowers down a ladder or a rope or a good friend comes and pulls you out of that pit of despair, but it might be that God wants you to dig yourself out and just keep going. And you know what? The position, the attitude that you have, the look that you have, where are you looking? Depressed people are often looking to themselves, looking down, describing the pit that they're in. People that are driven, that will succeed, are looking past the pit, past the setback, past the circumstance, and they're locked, they're laser locked on the goal that they are trying to get to. Number five, goals build my character. Goals build my character. You see, here's the truth. It's not the individual success or the goal itself, but it's who you are becoming that God's interested in. God is interested in a people that are overcomers, that have a character that cannot be conquered. And so God will allow bad things to happen to good people to teach them great character, to make them mighty champions on the course of life. And so in 2021, don't ask for a course that has no setbacks and just has ease and provision, but ask for the strength to be an overcomer, that you might be the people the person that God wants to build and smile upon. We talked a little bit in Sunday school, the first hour, about Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. God was going to make of them a great people. It's interesting because Egypt was a great country. It was a great people. They had great monuments and things and wealth. But God wanted a great people for himself. God wanted a people that had great and godly character and saw things the way God sees them. And that's what he's still interested in this year. It's very intentional. It's not just by chance. So be intentional this year. Intentional means I'm going to step forward at this time. Here's my process. I'm going to follow through. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to get discouraged. When I have a setback, I'm going to get back up. When my knees are bloodied, I'm not going to cry and quit. I'm going to pursue and keep on going. And go ahead and say that to your neighbor right now. I'm going to pursue. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to be a conqueror. That's right. God wants us to overcome. God wants us to pursue. Now, January 17th is the day called Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day is January 17th. We need to mark that on our calendar. If you're going to quit, don't quit January 17th. They say it takes 21 days to develop a solid habit. 21 successive days to develop a habit. And people continue and get through week one and get through week two, and then somewhere before week three, they'll quit. And they were so close to establishing a new habit in their life. And you can have these godly habits. And we're going to get more specific in just a few minutes. But first, it's our Christian duty. It's a declaration of faith. It's the element to focus my life. It keeps me going. It builds my character. Number six, without goals, I will be lost. I will be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27, we pointed this out. But I keep my body under, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Many Christians, many pastors, many missionaries, even Paul himself said, if I just let myself do whatever, I would be lost. I'd be lost at life's sea. I'd be a goner. But I've got some systems. I've got some stopgaps set up, and I'm not going to allow myself to go out these gates and take the easy path. I am going to go forward. I am not going to be lost. Lost at sea. Number seven, good goals will be rewarded. In verse number 24 of 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about this race that everybody's running in, but only one receives the prize. And we need to run that we can obtain. Goals will be rewarded. Now, in life, goals will be rewarded here on earth. And you know all kinds of people that do great things. They live for others. They don't take the benefits themselves. They live a sacrificial life, and they are rewarded here on earth by others. In heaven, it's the same way. God wants to reward us. God wants to give us the help that we need to make a difference so that we can receive the prize. God wants to reward you, and God wants to reward me. Now, there's some questions that we need to ask in order to see if we have the right goal. You ready to ask a few questions? Number one, will this goal glorify God? The Bible says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, no matter what it is to glorify God. There's a lot of goals that people establish that don't glorify God and should be done away with. Is God being glorified? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That is, as a Christian, the labor of our life, the effort of my day, whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I am to be accepted of God. Is this acceptable before God? Will this glorify God? Now, let me give you the second question you need to ask yourself. Is this goal motivated by love? Is this goal motivated by love? And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And I want you to read those first four verses out loud together. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 4. Okay, ready? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity,
I am not as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge,
though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
Verse 3 and 4. And though
I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity giveth not. Charity knoweth not itself. It is not of God.
This is the element of charity. It's the element of love. And love is the motivating factor for every Christian and every decision. Don't set goals that are not filled with love. Now, I want to tell you, the majority of goals that humanity sets are goals of pride, goals of greed, goals of fear, goals of grudge, or some other inferior motive. But we as Christians, as people of God, we set goals that are filled with charity. Whatever goal we have is to glorify God, and it's motivated by love. Now, number three, here's our third question. Will this goal require dependence upon God? Will this goal require dependence on God? Now, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, we know it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So to set a goal that doesn't require faith, I wouldn't say, well, the Bible also does say, I was about ready to say something wrong there, but the Bible also says that with things that are done without faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Doing things that don't require faith in God is an insult. It's not going to glorify God. It's going to glorify me. So the goals we set have to be built upon faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And things that require faith are impossible for me to do. Now, there's two elements here that God wants to see. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First, I've got to believe there is a God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've got to believe there is a God and I must believe that God is a rewarder. Do you believe that God will reward you? Will this goal glorify God? Is this goal motivated by love? And will this goal require dependence upon God? Let me give you one more verse here in this section. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9. Proverbs 16 and verse number 9. And here it is. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now we have two elements here. Devising our way, that is setting goals and creating systems to achieve those goals, and the direction of God. So God directs as I am devising. And if you can get those two elements together, you have a blessing. You have something that will glorify God and make a difference in society. There's many Christians, so many Christians that are either maximizing one or the other to the demise of the other. Their heart is devising a way, but they're closed to the direction of the Lord. Or the opposite. They're not devising a way at all. They're not establishing a plan. They're just saying, Lord, direct my steps. Lord, show me. And, you know, there's a good illustration. A moving vessel is easiest to steer. That is, if it's a boat or a car, or, I don't know about a plane, but a boat or a car, if it's just sitting there, you can't steer it and direct it. But it's, you just let it move a little bit. All of a sudden, that boat, you can guide this way and that way. That car, you get it moving just a little bit, you can steer it this way or that way. But if it is stationary, you can't direct it. In the same way, say, God, direct me. I'm yielded, and I don't know what to do, but Lord, I'm stepping forward by faith. Lord, I believe this is the way you want me to go. I'm going forward. I'm striving. Lord, if this is not the way, direct me and show me. And listen, God will direct as you devise, but just don't let one cancel out the other. Now, there's three things that you will need. Number one, you need, if this is going to work, you need God's Spirit to empower you. I need God's Spirit to empower me. In Zechariah 4 and verse 6, it says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's the Spirit of the Lord. Number two, you need God's Spirit to empower, but two, you need God's Word to guide. I need God's Word to guide me. As God's people were coming out of slavery, Moses was leading and guiding, and right next to him was God's general, Joshua. And General Joshua took over after Moses, and Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, God talks about what's to be in his heart and in his life. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's this law, it's never to even leave your mouth. It's supposed to be right there, being turned over all the time. You're supposed to be meditate, thinking about it day and night. Why? Well, you're observing to do. Observe to do. You're watching in order to implement everything that is written therein. And if you do, you'll be prosperous. If you do, you will be a success. You will have good success. Do you want good success in 2022? Come on, do you want good success in 22? Man, I want it. I want to see success. I want to be prosperous. I want what God has for me. And I know you do as well. If so, you need God's word to guide. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the third one is I need God's people to support me. That's the element of community. I need a church. I need to go forward. I need to make a difference. Now, I have got a little bag over here. And in this bag, even though it says Jersey Mike subs, it has no subs in here at all. As a matter of fact, we have some things here for you. Tori, want to help me out here, bud? And in here, we have our Bible reading calendar for 2022. And this is all about making a difference. So we have some pictures of our neighborhood and the word 2022 there. And that comes from Jude, verse number 22. Some having compassion, making a difference. Now I want you to open that up as soon as you get it. And you will see that there are some all kinds of different spaces and blank spots in there. And that is so that you can make this yours. I want to encourage you to make this yours and set some goals in there and really refine some things. Those elements of your goal, of your new year, that have nothing to do with praising God, have nothing to do with God. There's some little goals that you might have, but they might be distractions. And one of your greatest enemies is distractions. I think that this generation, and I didn't live in another generation, so I believe this generation in this time might have the tendency to be more distracted than any other generation or time. And I would cite the truth that we have more information. We have more information. It's more accessible. But we have made ourselves more accessible as well through all the apps and all the different notifications that somehow we sign up for. So here's our invitation. I'm going to ask Tori and Peter if you'd come and play some music for us. As we're playing some music, we just got a few minutes left. I want you to go through the goals of your life. What are you working on? What is a goal that you've established that maybe is not worthy of all the effort of your life? What is something that you haven't established that you need to reestablish and say, I need to do this. This is something I must do, I should do by the grace of God. I will do because of the glory of God. And whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. So hopefully you've got a pen, you've got your calendar. I want you to just start going through that and pray right now. Lord, help me. I'll start us off. Here we go. Father, we love you. We thank you for saving us, for changing us. We thank you for the time and the great examples of faith and truth. And Lord, we ask that you would lead us and guide us. And I pray that this time of goal setting would be used to glory and honor your holy name, that the effort of our life would not be wasted on trivial things, certainly not sinful things, but it would be to glorify you and maximize the difference that we can make through the glory and honor of Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can move around a little bit. You can stay still. Work on those goals. Write them down. If you've written them somewhere else, maybe in a digital document, you can bring that up. But I want to take a few minutes and we're going to pray. We're going to think, and we're going to plan. We're going to come up with some strategies that change those dreams into goals. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Boy, God wants to use you. Father, we pray again, Father, that you would lead us and guide us. Lord, that you would direct us. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to set appropriate and righteous goals. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were helped by that message from Pastor Brad Wells. Reach out to us anytime at gracewaydc.com or come visit us in person, Sundays at 11, Thursdays at 7. We'll be back next week with another message from Graceway Baptist Church, right here on Capitol Hill.